if there are hits, like, let for instance, Nothing But a G Thing, right? There's a hit. I'll probably play it the first little while as it comes out, where it's still not huge and overplayed, and that's when I'm going to be playing those songs, right? So I just think drawing a line between what I'm going to play and what I'm not going to play is not something that I'm sitting thinking about as I put on a record. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's, if people are asking me, play this song, right? I'm going to put it on so they come back next week. And so I get asked by the owner, Ricky, do you want to come back and play again next
week?
So
what happens to the people who call you up and ask you, if I were to call you guys up and I said, don't play that song, please? Or that's, just saying,
see,
I take...
The bottom line is now, when you're talking to radio and you're talking to the club, is two different things.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, at the radio, they don't pay me, right? You see?
Right.
And the bottom
line
is...
That's a very important point,
That's an important point. And two, I don't have to depend on other people to make my livelihood, so I can follow that. And if I'm at the station, the station has strict guidelines against it, then that's their responsibility. I'm absolved of the responsibility. But now, when I'm in a club now, there's such a thing as artistic freedom. And to a certain extent, you have to let the DJ play what he thinks or what the public wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's a problem that happens. Now, you know, like, we can look at the DJ and say, yeah, he's a part of it. But all the DJ is the reflection of what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He takes what the people see on TV and what's being played on the radio, and he takes that and then brings it into the club to play for you in there, so you can have the same kind of vibe that you had when you were watching TV or listening to the radio.
Yeah. Okay, I think I want to ask a general question for everybody. Those rappers or those artists that are considered safe, because I think I have a joke that kind of sums up the whole question, that if I were going to be completely discriminating in what I buy in terms of trying to find the perfect album that had no sexist lyrics, no anything, I think I'd have a grand total of maybe 5 records.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the whole issue is, I mean, we don't want to seem like it's an attack on Ricky as a club owner or Jeff as a DJ, because I think this is the basic dilemma, that we want to listen to music that we find good in terms of the music, but then we're faced with the lyrics. So we ask everyone, where do you draw the line? And then on top of it, there are some groups that would be considered non-sexist, or some rappers like YZ or Cam and Paris or Arrested Development. But then again, they're not that popular. They're not considered hardcore. They wouldn't have huge listenership. You know, so does anyone have, Jeff, do you have a response for that?
Well, I think, first of all, with certain artists that you're quoting,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them have to be, like, Arrested Development, for instance. There's a group who people don't consider hardcore. Now, I think hardcore has to be separated from a lot of, and from underground. Like, there's so many different definitions about what hardcore rap is,
mm-hmm.
and what isn't. Like, some people go so far as to say hardcore is too short, people like that.
Yeah.
And then underground is more A Tribe Called Quest, KRS-One, Wu-Tang Clan, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're dealing with these other groups like YZ and them,
mm-hmm.
you gotta think that they're making music from a different perspective.
Right.
Right there, a lot of them are kind of just more on the artistic tip and
political
and,
a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it too is that it's always easy to look at the DJ and all that. But you know, when you ladies come into the club, right? And if there's enough ladies, women, I don't care. Like, you know, you can go. Let's not get into this wordplay now.
I was
right?
only telling
ladies,
you because I didn't care.
Why? Why do you care? If I call you a lady, if I call you a woman, am I offending you by calling you a lady?
Personally, in terms for me, I see it as a euphemism. And personally, I prefer to be called a woman. I mean, like, I could be going so far as to...
Now you're getting all extreme and all that, and you're playing words now.
Am I
insulting you by calling you a lady?
Well, for example, there's some people who
Isn't
don't...
Isn't that respectful?
No, actually, if we look at the history, and this is kind of, in a sense, it's not even off the topic, but if we look at the history of the term lady and its connotations and what it implied, there are a lot of people who prefer to be called woman, in a sense, because lady is basically a euphemism for sort of like what's acceptable, according not to women, but to other people.
Hi, everyone. I'm back. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, my name is Sydney Otoki. I'm the VP in Tunnel to the BSN. I did the opening segment today, and now I'm back to talk about some archival material. So if you guys are just joining us, like literally right now, we just finished playing like a panel discussion about sexism from 1994, like from Black Talk. Like it's like McGill alum who discussed sexism within Black music, more specifically in hip hop, rap, and R&B. And I'm just gonna give my two cents on like what I heard and stuff. It was really interesting. One of the, like two of the guys that were actually DJs, so it was really interesting to get, like, it was quite a nuanced, there was a lot of mixed opinions about the topic. So yeah, I'm gonna just comment on some of the questions that came out. Please forgive me if my thoughts are like really all over the place, because I really just like jotted down the questions that they were bringing up. So I'm just gonna like give my two cents on what they said, but it might be a little bit all over the place, so just bear with me. So one of the most interesting questions that came up to me is, can we say it's just music? Like when it comes to like, for example, calling women like hoes and bitches and worse on tracks, like can we say that it's just music and that we need to separate that and that it doesn't mean anything, etc., etc.? I am gonna go ahead and say no. There's no one here who can reach out. Like I'm doing this by myself, so it's not like there can be that much of a discussion. So if you really disagree with me, I apologize. If you were here to like debate, I would be open to debate and discussion, but I'm here alone, so I'm gonna go pretty much unchecked for the next like, I don't know how long, 30 minutes maybe. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that we can't say that it's just music, because if racist songs come out, like I'm gonna be the one to say it. When there are racist songs, we know that it's harmful. So when there are sexist songs, let's not pretend like it's not harmful. Also, I'd say that especially in a community like the Black community, where we know that a lot of Black youth like lack role models, they turn to like TV, they turn to TV stars, athletes, like musicians for like role models. Like I'll get to that later in terms of like the responsibility or not, like do like famous people have a responsibility or not to the Black community, like specifically with regards to like Black celebrities. But yeah, like a lot of people turn to musicians for like mentorship and stuff. And I'd say that like lyrics do have a really strong like influence on people. I feel like the type of music that you listen to can like kind of define like your mood and your outlook. I'm not saying that it controls people, that it manipulates people or anything, but I do think that if you listen to two radically different genres, like say on Monday I listen to like only R&B, and like the next day I'm listening to like classical music, and the next day I'm listening to like pop, I might be in different moods, and that can affect the way that I act, that I behave, that I think, in like really subtle ways. That's not to like pass any sort of value judgment on what type of genre you listen to whatsoever. It's just a question of like the lyrics in themselves. Like if I'm listening to like, I don't know, I feel like that can have an effect on you. And what's more, like people can say, they were saying like in the panel before, like, but it's just music, like it's not personal. Like even if they're calling women bitches and hoes, like women shouldn't take this, like, well, some people were saying it's very offensive. Some people were saying, oh, but maybe it's not that offensive. Like, I'm not sure, like they shouldn't take it personal. But I would argue that men actually take music quite personal, because now that, like, this is in 1994, right? So we didn't have like Megan Thee Stallion, we didn't have Nicki Minaj, we didn't have Saweetie, all these like female rappers. And I'd say that now that the make his pockets hurt trope has emerged, men are pretty upset. Men are pretty upset. I would say that like the amount of abusive comments I've seen like on Instagram about like women like kind of mobilizing their looks to like sustain themselves and to like get men to pay for things, like we can all have a discussion about that another day, that's a whole other thing. But like that, like when that's being like really like pushed into the lyrics of women's music, like people are getting really upset about it. And like there have been like response songs, and like I've seen what's, oh fuck, I'm gonna forget now, but you know, the Future song, like, Too Sexy and stuff, how that was kind of how all the men in the comment, like, a lot of men on social media were saying, like, this is a response to, like, the female rappers who, like, think they're too good for us, and, like, women are, like, so, like, crazy right now, like, women are really on one, like, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we need a song for the boys to hype us up. Like, I would say that men have a lot of things to hype them up. I would say that men don't necessarily need a hype up song, because... I don't know. I think we can all agree, at the very least, men do not need a hype up song in response to female rap. But yeah, that's just to say, like, obviously at the time they didn't know this, no one could predict this, but I'd say that men do take things pretty, like, personal. I would say that everyone has the right to, actually, but yeah, I wouldn't say that it's just music. We can't really say that. What else do I have to say about that? Oh yeah, also film. Can we say it's just music? I don't really know, because, for example, like, they were saying, it kind of is upsetting that sexism seems to only really be flagged when it comes to hip hop music. This is a really tricky question, because this is true. If you know me personally, you know I have a thing or two to say about sexism, and I don't ever think it's acceptable. However, everybody should be flagged for sexism. And let's take an example of a different industry, being the film industry. Films are often seen as, like, a product of their time, and, like, you separate the artist from the art, na 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 na, like, when it was Weinstein's films, yes, but we can still enjoy them, blah 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 blah. I have an issue with this, because I don't think that the Black community should just let themselves off the hook for this. I also think that when it comes to sexism within the Black community, like, there is, I mean, we have all sorts of problems, like colorism coming out and texturism coming out in, like, the Black songs. Even texturism comes out in Black songs. It goes so far as, like, they'll talk about the type of hair that, like, with the girls that they're, like, getting with, and this type of thing, like, that it really is deeply embedded. But, like, yeah. Where was I? My bad, guys. Where was I? There's no one here to remind me. How awkward. Oh yeah, so, like, the sexism in the songs is pretty bad, but, like, it's also, it's in films as well. Like, these depictions are in films as well. Like, they're in Tarantino films, like, they're in prestigious films, and it is only flagged when it's Black artists. Like, for example, there's a film called Full Metal Jacket from the late 80s, I want to say. It's about the Vietnam War. And I believe, don't quote me, but I believe the director is the same guy that did the, I'm going to say it wrong, that's embarrassing, like, Clockwork Orange, or Clockwork, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So that film, so, like, this isn't just any, like, director. This is a really big deal. These are, like, some of the biggest, most prestigious people in Hollywood. And there's, like, a really, really, really awful, it's, like, both sexist and racist, which is, wow, you love it when they outdo themselves like that. It's a sexist and racist scene in which an Asian sex worker approaches two American soldiers, offering them, like, sex for money, or, like, sexual favors for money. And the whole depiction is pretty awful. You can look it up. You'll find it really easily. If you look up, like, Full Metal Jacket, like, sex worker scene, it will instantly come up. And there's, like, a whole trope, like, it's notorious. Like, this is where, for anyone who doesn't know at all what I'm talking about, Me Love You Long Time, if you've ever heard that, like, I've heard it thousands of times without knowing where that comes from. This is where that, like, line comes from. And it, like, was super harmful. It continues to be super harmful. And yeah, so that movie contained that. No one flagged it at the, like, no one, well, let me rephrase, actually. At the time, people thought this was funny and acceptable, which many people still do. And then there was, then Two Live Crew came along, which is, like, they were, like, a hip hop, like, band in, like, the 90s. They came around and they sampled, like, that scene for a music track. And they got taken to court over it because it was so offensive. Like, the song was just awful. It was an awful song. It was an offensive song. It's absolutely terrible. For anyone who might be listening who's in GSFS 305, hi, because we listened to this in class. That's where I actually got this information from, that Two Live Crew got sued over the song, which actually raised some really interesting points because, yeah, the song was awful and it was sexist and they probably should have gone to court. However, the film itself remains largely untouched. The film itself remains praised. It remains a classic. And I say that the difference between the producers of like the Two Live Crew track and like the film Full Metal Jacket are that some people are white and others were not. It's like, for example, like we have now been knowing that Quentin Tarantino is like a freak. Like he's kind of like sexist, he's racist, he typecasts really weirdly. He's inappropriate with the women on that he hires for his films. He's like exploitative and stuff. He's just not a great person. But again, like his movies are seen as super prestigious, so it's art. It means like there's quote unquote creative freedom, which is really odd to me because yeah, like these people aren't held accountable. So you can understand the then anger of like Black artists, whether it be hip hop, rap, like country, pop, whatever, when their sexism gets flagged, but like the sexism of their white counterparts in the industry is seen as like prestigious. Like that's unbelievably angering. However, as a Black woman, I don't really care. I think that sexism should be like flagged. However, I think that it should be flagged for like everyone. I think everyone's sexism should be flagged. That is like a really, it's a complicated question because I believe in holding people accountable. And I just feel like if we start giving passes to people, then where does it end? You know, like if we start saying, oh, but like, I don't know, it's complicated because it's unfair for just the Black or like Black music to be flagged for sexism, but it's not like they're not being sexist in the songs, you know, like it's tricky, but then other things like don't get flagged, which is like odd to me. Specifically film, because film is seen as like so hyper prestigious, and it is like a largely, film has been a really difficult like industry to penetrate in terms of like diversity. I hate that word, but yeah, in terms of like diverse like representation and like actual tangible representation, like for example, like I love Zendaya. Anyone who knows me knows I love Zendaya. But if the book is talking about like a dark skinned woman and I see Zendaya on stage, like I'm gonna get pissed. So yeah, I have definitely some qualms with film. And I think that, yeah, like there is truth to that, but we can't excuse our actions and just say like, oh, but you know, like other people do it too, so it's fine. Like that's not okay. Another thing that came up was musicians being role models, which I think is such a like loaded one. I don't know, I have really mixed opinions on this. Some people have really strong opinions on this. I have very mixed opinions because I'd argue that like, it's complicated. Like people don't sign up for that responsibility when they get really famous. But I feel like if you're made aware of the fact that you're so influential, and also, you know that your community, like specifically with regards to Black celebrities who know that their community is like suffering and like has like all of these issues, like I feel like there is a certain responsibility, I don't know, to like act responsibly and like also like not instigate harm and instigate discrimination, instigate sexism. Like I do think there is a responsibility there. And it's also interesting to me how whenever it comes to, for example, like, a lot of male artists that are like really praised by like younger, just like the youth in general, there's a tendency for social media to be like, yeah, well, they didn't sign up for this. Like, for example, I forget, they mentioned like a basketball player. I know that there's one that's like more recent. I really can't name anyone in basketball, I'm sorry. But there was a basketball player in the 90s who requested to not be seen as like a poster child for the community and like didn't want to be seen as a role model, which is fair. But I would say that when it's women in, again, and things have only gotten worse in social media because now we have access to like constantly be seeing all of this hate and all of this backlash, but it is nice to be aware of what's out there. Cardi B, I have a number of things to say about Cardi B. This is not like a pro or against Cardi B moment, but this is just a really interesting example, is that when WAP came out, like the song, for those of you who are, it's a very, very explicitly sexual song that ruffled a lot of feathers to say the least. When that song came out, a lot of people were bashing her, really, really coming in saying she has a daughter, this is irresponsible. Now all of a sudden when it's women, we notice like again the embedded sexism of like, yes, but you have to be a role model, you have to do this. This specifically came out of, it's actually confusing to me that people got so angry, especially when the context for this was that she was like doing an Instagram live video and she was like playing her song and she was like kind of dancing, and like her daughter came in like waddling into the kitchen and she immediately like turned off the song and was like, oh no, like you can't hear that. And it was pretty cute, actually. I don't know, it was kind of funny. And people in the comments were like, oh, well, if she like doesn't want her daughter to see this, like she shouldn't play that music, na 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 na. And I just think that's so crazy. I don't know. I don't really see people taking their kids to work every day like that and showing them what they do. I don't think that it's, and I feel like the R&B, like the rappers who make rap music about like literal violence, I don't understand why they're not held to that same standard. Like, for example, like DaBaby loves to have his baby all over the internet, like his daughter, and is like super open about his relationship with his daughter and like super proud of it, which like as you should be proud of, you like, I'm glad he is. But it's just odd that like when it's men, like, oh, they can like talk about like literal violence and have like weapons around their kids and it's like on Instagram and it's like funny or cute or whatever, but like sexual lyrics are enough for like Cardi B to be, she may be a bad mother for other reasons, I'm not saying that she's not, but I'm just saying that like I think it's really odd that people were like really policing her and saying she shouldn't be making music like this if she's a mother. That was very telling and like very upsetting to see that we're like still in this phase at this point in time. And then I kind of want to say a little bit about like doing it for money. Like, for example, like the DJs were talking about how they play these songs because it like it affects their livelihoods and like they need it. Like they need to play the sexist songs, like if people request them, like if you don't play the songs that people request, then like as a DJ you won't get like booked again and that affects your livelihood, which is fair. I don't know, I feel like we do all have certain responsibilities at a certain point, and like it's a very easy cop. I don't know, it's complicated because we all have to, I'm sure every single person who is listening or even who isn't has at one point or another like compromise their morals a little bit or their values for a check, because that's what keeps us living. But I do think that there is at a certain point like there are limits. There is a lot of music out there, and some of it, like not all violent music is the same. Like some music is objectively worse, like especially in the 90s, like there was a rap song that was super famous that essentially was describing a scene of assault, and that was really famous and people didn't really check in, like people didn't really like clock that those were the lyrics until really late, and then the song kind of got backlash and like people kind of stopped listening to it and playing it at the club. But like I think that at a certain point, like we can't really say that. I don't really know if that's like an acceptable answer to say, yeah, but I have to play this. It's also complicated because it is like really deep rooted in hip hop and R&B. Like this is in most songs, like at least the word bitch is gonna come up once, like, you know what I mean? Like no music is like it's hard to find music that is fully like clean of like any form of sexism. But like not all sexist songs are like born the same, they're not created the same. So like I would say that there is a responsibility to not play that type of music, or like some songs at least. I also feel like as like a member of the community, like we, I don't know, if there's this whole idea of like we protect each other, we have to be out there looking out for our community. Like Black women are part of the Black community. So when you flag racism or you flag like racist producers, racist songs, racist films, it goes the same for sexism, because Black women are affected by sexism the same way they're affected by racism. The only difference is that like Black men can perpetuate sexism onto like their Black female counterparts, which like is upsetting. And it's upsetting to see that there's not more of a desire to empower their female counterparts. Like that's really disappointing. And I would say that that hasn't changed since. I'd say arguably it's gotten like worse. I personally don't think we're doing super well. And on that whole thing of like playing the blame game and like saying, oh, but it's like learnt, et cetera, you'll notice in the archives, if you happen to listen to it, that there was the good old urge to blame racism on America. A lot of the things that came up here were like, oh, well, the thing is the rappers, like they're coming from the States and like they're Americans and like America has its own problems with racism. But like, I would say that in Montreal, like we don't really have those problems. I wasn't around in the 90s. I wasn't even around in Canada 3 years ago, so I can't make that much of a definitive statement, but definitely from lived experience, Canada has a lot of racism, and we can't just push that aside. Also, especially nowadays, where like communication and stuff, where everything is so globalized and advanced in terms of like technology and like communication and information sharing, what happens in the US in terms of music and the way it's being spread, like the same music you hear in the US is what you're hearing here, so we'll have the same effect on people. I don't think we can say, oh, but those are like those communities. Yes, it is the Black American community, which is different than the Canadian Black community, but if the music is influencing the youth, then the music is influencing the youth regardless. I'd say it even has an effect, like in the UK. Like I grew up in the UK and like mostly listening to American music. So that's like a pretty complicated thing. I'd say that's probably one of the most like, yeah, it's not great with Canada. I came from the UK, so I've definitely heard the, but racism and like all this awful stuff like comes from the US. No, I mean, yes, it does, but we have our own forms. Canada has its own forms. So yeah, that's another thing that I heard that was definitely interesting. Another thing that was interesting in the archives was the use of the N-word. I'm not going to go into this one particularly because that's like a whole other thing for another day. And I would prefer to do that like with people as well. I think it's more interesting than like, that's definitely something where like you need multiple people. But they were talking about how for that they were split, like a few of them were saying like, I don't agree with the use of the term, like people, because that was like, it was like coming back up, like, oh, can we reclaim these words? Like a lot of communities reclaim words, but like, is this okay? Some of them were saying, I don't mind. Some of them were saying like, for me, those are fighting words. Like if you say that to me, like it's on site. But I just, again, it's like really shocking and upsetting to see how like how double standards operate, because like how can we be saying like, oh, but like don't take, like how can we like be calling women like bitches and sluts and so on and so on. Yes, the history is different, but I would let me think. Like yes, the history is different, but I would say that like it's to the same ends really when we do that, and like why should it be less, like why should sexism be seen as a less brutal thing than racism? Because women continue to die on the daily from domestic abuse, femicide is a real thing, like assault remains a real thing, women are not safe anywhere in the streets. So I would say that like sexism is just as violent as racism, so I don't understand why some words are seen as like less awful than like, for like, I don't know, these really, some of the most violent words that we have, like to insult women. I don't know, that's a tricky conversation. I'm also just like coming up with this on the spot. I might think a different thing in 2 hours and regret that I said this, but I would say that like, we tend to undo, like we tend to like undermine just how brutal and like actually tangibly violent sexism is, and how it does like put people's life at risk the way that racism does. So yeah, and on that same note, they discussed like the whole, at the very beginning they were talking about like, oh, is the music inherently sexist? Like where does sexism come from? Is it something that's learned? This is a really, oof, this is a big one, because it is and it isn't. Like sexism has existed almost everywhere. It's come from every community more or less. However, the people that really, really, really outdid themselves were the colonizers. Can't lie. Let me explain something if you guys don't know, if you don't know the history or whatever. Basically, standards of like masculinity came in with colonization. Like the nuclear model, which is the model of like the father being the man of the house and the head of the house, and the mother being like the cook who remains at home, who bears children, et cetera, who does not work, and then children being children, is something that came from the patriarchal models. A lot of different cultures, different countries, like before being colonized, had very different systems in terms of like gender roles, distribution of work, distribution of labor, et cetera, et cetera. And notions such as masculinity and feminism and femininity have largely been learnt and used as survival methods. So I spoke about this a little bit earlier in my segment. I was talking specifically about like femininity and how it was created again by like white European community, like white European culture, and has been used against both white women and women of color being seen as like the negation, like the worst possible thing you can be. For example, like if you've ever heard like black women aloud, that's to signal to white women that the best thing that they could do is be quiet housewives. For anyone who didn't know that, that's what that means. Because if you're a man and you're loud, trust me, you're charismatic and you should probably go into politics because you could be a president, but that's a whole other story. So anyways, yeah, so like masculinity and femininity have largely been like learnt, and as a, like, men in particular were extremely humiliated in terms of their masculinity. So when like decolonization stopped, and like even during, men felt emasculated and all of this stuff and were humiliated by like their white counterparts. And as a somewhat coping mechanism, that's kind of where like excessive violence started to emerge, like in terms of like masculinity and like being like the man of the house, et cetera, to like reclaim masculinity, because they were very like, they were just humiliated by colonizers. So that's kind of a tricky thing where like it was a survival mechanism for men, but at the cost of women. So again, like the hyper-masculine idea that comes out in rap, like this hyper-masculinity, hypersexual, et cetera, like, yes, we can say that it's a coping mechanism, but like at the cost, like at a cost though. So yeah, I don't really know. I also feel like, I don't know, we also have like a responsibility to unlearn and relearn notions of masculinity. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? We should also question things like when your existence is based on like bashing someone else's or like having to like negate someone else's existence. Like, again, you should probably question that because your existence probably isn't very like authentic and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. It's so much complicated stuff. It's a lot to think about on the spot. I have a lot of thoughts. I'm sorry if they're not really, if they're not really like coming out very clear. Another thing I want to talk about. So again, like with the, like going along the lines of like sexism, like how it was learned, like there was a lot of like, in order to feel like manly, they were like extra violent to like prove themselves, et cetera, among like their white counterparts and be taken seriously, et cetera, like they discussed in the panel, women requesting sexist songs and like women dancing to sexist songs. I don't think this is something that anyone would have said at the time. I'm not really sure if this is something that people would say, but what I want to say is let's not victim blame because like specifically with regards to Black women, images and stereotypes that are around in society serve to control us. Like for example, like the image of like the Black woman and like women, like Black women being like curly and like matronly and like, oh, like the mama of the group of like the workplace, and then like being hypersexual and whatnot. Like these are images that control us, stereotypes that control us. And there's a cost if you don't conform. Like I'm sure people who do psych and stuff like know about behavioral studies and know that like if you don't adhere to like certain standards, then like there is a punishment from your group. And that's where like terms like if you've ever heard like emotional labor and stuff, like for example, where like Black women are expected to, especially like older Black women in the workplace, are expected to like be kind of like the unsaid like therapist for all the POCs who work there who might be younger and like seeking mentorship and stuff. But this is also stuff that like, this is labor that they're not paid for. This is called like emotional labor. And yeah, so it's like, for example, Black women who aren't taken seriously, like say I'm a Black woman, I am very like voluptuous, I have large curves, I'm very beautiful, all these things are true, by the way, like this is what I look like, and I'm seeking like work, say like at an office, like 9 to 5 regular, people will say I don't look professional, I don't look like this, I don't look like that. So like, and also racism means that I'll struggle to access work, and so I might turn towards like, for example, like if I'm in like a, they were talking about how like Black women who were like gyrating in the videos, say I decide to like go to Hollywood and like be in music videos and stuff, this is because I'm using the image that people have created of me as a survival mechanism to eat and put food on the table and like not be homeless. This is like a really complicated thing. It's also like, if I, even on like a more simple level, I like to have fun, I like to go clubbing, I like, well, in the past, I like to go clubbing, I like to go out. if I refuse to get up, dance, or go to any club that plays sexist music, genuinely, I do not know where I would go. Because I also, like, I love hip hop. I was raised listening to hip hop, rap, and R&B. When they were playing the archives and they would, like, I was listening to it just now, they played a song as an example of a sexist song, like, I think the second, like, Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube one, and, like, the music sounded really good and I got distracted. So this is just proof of, like, it's really, it's tricky, first of all, because the music is, like, good, but also because, like, where do you go if you, like, negate all of these things? Like, is there a safe space where you can go? Because, like, people, like, the DJ was saying, oh, well, like, if you don't like this, then you have a responsibility to, like, go elsewhere. Like, I would love to see, like, a Black female-run club that has no sexist music, no sexist people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bit too difficult to do that. So I'd say that the industry has a responsibility to change and not, like, the individuals. Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. It's like how, I don't know, we always talk about how, like, it's not up to, like, the consumers to change. I mean, there is, like, or, like, if you can do it, then you should change your consumerism, like, habits. But, like, it is up to, like, the retailers and the corporations to change the way that they produce. And that's kind of the same thing that I have to say about the music industry. Like, it's, I don't know, it's very upsetting to always hear, like, empowering music. And, like, even when, like, the, remember when in May 2020, when all of, like, the widespread protests were happening, they were discussing, like, there were loads of people came out with songs, like Anderson .Paak and Her, who, like, got nominated for, like, Grammys, I think, for those songs. I think Her won the Grammy for it. And, like, they came up with these songs, and, like, some of, like, the guys' ones have lyrics that are, like, super sexist. And it's, like, how in this time where our community is once again bleeding and, like, in so much pain, just, like, really, like, going through just nightmare times time and time again, and, like, your lyrics are sexist and, like, you disregard half of your community when you do that, I just cannot wrap my head around that. It's really upsetting to me that, like, we can't still in these times we can't uplift each other. Yeah, it's upsetting. And, like, a lot of these songs, even the songs that, like, when they're specifically made in reaction to things that have happened, like, when they start dropping names, you hear more men's names than you do women's, and that's another problem in itself. Like, it's a problem, because if you denounce it, you risk not being, like, embraced by the Black community, but at which you want, like, we need, like, you know, you will, like, as a Black woman, you're part of the Black community, so you're gonna denounce, like, the rappers, but also you don't want to, like, step away from that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really tricky. So I do think Black men have a responsibility to uplift us, like, their peers. And it shouldn't have to be up to Black women. Again, emotional labor, like, it shouldn't be up to Black women to do it. The same way that we expect us, it's the same way that we expect to not have to educate white folk on, like, your music is racist and here's why, they should just have to do it. Black men have the exact same responsibility to, like, their mothers, their sisters, like, their wives, their girlfriends, like, their friends, and just, like, that community members, like, it's that simple. So yeah, sorry, I kind of went on, like, a tangent there. I hope everyone is still following. But yeah, it's really interesting. I would say that, like, have things gotten better since the 90s? Like, I wasn't around in the 90s. I'm not that familiar with all of the music. I did grow up listening to a lot of it because my parents lived in LA in the 90s, listening to, like, R&B and rap almost exclusively. So, like, yeah, like, familiar with a good amount of it. I'd arguably say that it's gotten worse, which is pretty disappointing, but with the rise of social media, not that surprising. I see a lot of hate, and, like, my algorithm is, like, fine-tuned to show me things that I want to see as well, yet I still see a lot of hate towards, like, in particular, like, Black women. Like, the way society wants to control Black female artists is pretty nuts to me. The amount of hate I see towards, like, Black female rappers really gets on my nerves, because, again, when these women use these images of, like, being hypersexual and super sexy and, like, good at sex and all of this stuff, it's seen as, like, oh, this is so vulgar and disgusting. But when we were listening to DaBaby, when we were listening to, like, Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, like, any like, hip-hop artist, any rapper, the vulgarity was not disturbing you. It was not disturbing you when you were listening to men. So why, when women are talking, when women are rapping about their bodies and feeling empowered in doing so, now it bothers you? So what are you not okay with? The vulgarity of it all, or women feeling empowered do you need women to be denigrated in order to enjoy the music is my question. Like whether or not you like the sound of their voices, like you're entitled to your own opinions, like maybe you don't, but I find that a lot of people seem to have problems with vulgarity, and they're the same people that I hear listening to things that old people do not like because it's quote unquote violent and disturbing and like, no. I don't know, it's just, yeah, like the amount of backlash that female rappers get to me is like actually absurd. And I think there's like a lot of potential there for like community building and like kind of reconciling rap with women, and that I'm upset that more people don't see that, because hip hop, rap and music, it's not even reconciling, like there's no relationship to women, it's fully just hate. I never see women being like portrayed well. And even when it's well-intentioned, it's still somehow like it's underlyingly sexist. Like for example, like the good girls, bad girls trope, like these are all underlyingly sexist things, right? Like these are all, these aren't good things. Like a woman being like wifey material, et cetera, like there's a lot to say about that. And just like the anger towards any woman that does embrace her sexuality and like, dare I say it, enjoy sex is like immediately villainized, especially by like musicians in general, not just like hip hop or rap artists. It's pretty upsetting. And in film as well, like there's this massive, like there are a lot of tropes of like the shy, good. I would bring up a popular TV show. I actually have a really good example, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So I won't say, and I won't say what TV show it is, but it's currently airing on HBO, so you probably know what I'm talking about. But anyways, I'd say things aren't getting much better, but I do command like the black female rappers, because like whether or not you listen to the music, the fact that they're there, they exist, they're getting money, they're taking up space is important. And it's also important to see, like, also like let's not be disrespectful, like Lil Kim was doing it in the 90s, like probably one of the, and like Missy Elliott, like there were people out here doing it, but I just mean like now it's like an established genre where it's not just like one or two icons, like even like what, like 5-10 years ago when it was kind of like just Nicki Minaj on the scene, like see, like that is great, but that you can't say that a genre exists because you have like the outlier who like dares step on the stage. So whether or not you like it or not, it's not really a question of that. It's more a question of like it existing and it being there. That like that's important. So yeah, that's about all I have to say about this. Thank you so much for listening. I hope it made sense, and I'll see you guys later. Bye.
From you, red magic satin playing near two. All through the morning rain again, the sun doesn't shine. Rainbows and waterfalls run through my mind. In the garden, I see west purple shower bells, orange birds and river cousins dressed in green. Pretty music. From you. days I set in for a few. Brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, it didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. Across 110th Street, you can find it all in the street. Ooh, oh, oh. I got one more thing I'd like to talk to y'all about right now. There's a better way out. Shorting that coke, shooting that dope man you're copping out. Take my advice, it's either live or die. You got to be strong if you want to survive. The family on the upper side of town will catch hell if without a ghetto around. In every city you'll find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto town. Let me sing it. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, wishes won't let the junkie go free. Oh, across 110th Street, a woman trying to catch a trick on the street. Ooh, baby. Across 110th Street, you can find it all.
Brother, There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.
The name of this tune is Mississippi Goddamn. And I mean every word of it. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn, can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn. This is a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path. I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have
have mercy on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. Keep on saying, go slow. But that's just the trouble. Washing the windows. Picking the cotton. You're just plain rotten. You thought I was kidding, didn't you? Picket lines, school boycotts, they try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. Yes, you lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady. And you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Oh, but this whole country is full of lies. You all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust you anymore. You keep on saying, go slow. Go slow. But that's just the trouble. Peace segregation. Mass participation. Unification.
CKUT Radio McGill, 93 FM. A fresh breath of alternate air.
Not this record! Not this record! Not this record!